Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of the Perfect Person, Text 18. Na te shayanasya nirujyamasya brahman no harto yata eva boga abogino Yam tava vipra deha piva yatas tad vada na shamam chet na te shayanasya nirudamasya Brahman Nuharto Yata Eva Boga Abogino Yam Tava Vipradeha Piva Yatas Tadvada Nakshamam Chet Na te shayanasya nirudamasya Brahman nuharto yata eva boga Abogino yam tava vipradeha Piva yatas tad vada nakshamam chet Na te shayanasya nirudyamasya Brahman nuharto yata eva boga Abogino yam tava vipradeha Piva yatas tad vada nakshamam chet Mutterjays. Amen. 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 not te of you. Shayanasya, lying down. Nirojamasya, without activities. Brahman, O saintly person. No, indeed. Ha, it is evident. Artha, money. Yata, from which. Eva, indeed. Boga, sense enjoyment. Abogina, of one who is not engaged in sense enjoyment. I am this. Tava, your vipra, O learned Brahman. Deha, body. Piva, fat. Yata, how is it? Tat, that fact. Vada, kindly tell. Na, us. Shamam, excuse. Chet, if I have asked an impudent question. Translation. O Brahman, fully in knowledge of transcendence, you have nothing to do, and therefore you are lying down. It is also understood that you have no money for sense enjoyment. How then has your body become so fat? Under the circumstances, if you do not consider my question impudent, kindly explain how this has happened. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, those engaged in spiritual advancement take food only once, either in the afternoon or in the evening. If one takes food only once, naturally he does not become fat. The learned sage, however, was quite fat, and therefore Prahlad Maharaj was very much surprised. Because of being experienced in self-realization, a transcendentalist certainly becomes bright-faced, and one who is advanced in self-realization must be considered to possess the body of a Brahman. Because the bright-faced saintly person was lying down and not working, and yet was quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj was puzzled and wanted to question him about this. I'll read the verse again. Nate shaya nasya nurujyamasya brahman nuharto yata eva boga abogino yam tava vipra deha pivayatastad vadanakshamam chet. O Brahman, fully in knowledge of transcendence, you have nothing to do, and therefore you are lying down. It is understood that you have no money for sense enjoyment. How then has your body become so fat? Under the circumstances, if you do not consider my question impudent, kindly explain how this has happened. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatya Deja Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shiad Vedika Dadha Shivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakarpatarubhyas Chakripas Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So this is Prahlad Maharaj continuing his questioning about the extraordinary nature and position of this saintly person who is just lying down in the middle of the forest, just lying down somewhere. And Prahlad Maharaj, of course, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he's very knowledgeable about self-realization and processes for achieving self-realization and what is helpful for self-realization, what will act against self-realization, and what are the results of activities for self-realization in different ways. It's quite a substantial picture. What happens? Different things happen to a person in different ways when they engage seriously in self-realization. And generally, well, in many cases, or generally, when a person engages in self-realization, you generally don't just find him just lying on the ground somewhere in the forest, just lying there. That's one thing which was intriguing Prahlad Maharaj. But another thing, and the main thing really is mentioned here, is that when a person is engaged seriously in self-realization, generally, or practically always, but definitely generally, the person does not become fat. Their body, if anything, will be quite slim, because self-realization, generally any valid process of self-realization, involves limiting or restricting the basic bodily activities for sense gratification. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all these things become reduced or even practically come to zero when a person is very advanced. Practically hardly any eating, hardly any sleeping, no mating, defending. When a person's advanced in self-realization, practicing self-realization, then they become like this. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said on a number of occasions, when asked about symptoms of advancement in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada on a number of occasions said that you can tell because the person has reduced their eating and reduced their sleeping. But now here's a person who, at least in some respects, Prahlad Maharaj could immediately recognize by other symptoms. He must be very advanced, but his body was quite fat. It seems to be a contradiction, something of that sort. And Prahlad, to such a point that Prahlad, who of course is a real gentleman. Prahlad Maharaj is a first class Vaishnav. Shri Shri Radharas Bihari, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai. Prahlad Maharaj is a first class Vaishnav. Earlier on in this chapter, where there's the description of the whole pastime of Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev, then it's described there, there's one verse describing when Prahlad was a child, 5 years old, his personal qualities, how he treated juniors just like they were his younger brothers, seniors practically like they were God. So Prahlad Maharaj is a person of very good character and behavior. And when a person is like that, cultured person, they normally will not go around asking people, "Why are you so fat?" This is perhaps more for children. You know, children tend to be very uninhibited in these respects. And they may ask their mother, "Why is this person so fat?" Not thinking that, you know, maybe it's not quite the right thing to say or a nice thing to say. So Prahlad Maharaj, the thing is that this person was quite fat, but, and not just sort of healthy, as some might say, but actually, you know, apparently a bit on the excessive side, and you just don't expect that from a self-realized person or a person engaged in the culture of self-realization. So just the fact that he asked the question, someone like Prahlad would ask such a question, it means he really was intrigued. He just couldn't understand this. It appeared to be a real, like a serious contradiction. And in the previous verse and purport, particularly the purport which was read the other day, then Srila Prabhupada makes reference to the fact, and he also states exactly the same thing in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he did not appreciate it if any of his sannyas disciples started to become fat, and he would point it out and, in other words, stimulate them to take some action to counteract it. Yeah. So Prahlad Maharaj is quite intrigued by all this. And then therefore he's asking this, what even he himself says. It's an impudent question. It's like a rude question that you generally just shouldn't and wouldn't ask. But because of the extraordinary circumstances, he wants to ask. He does ask. So this man is just lying there. He has no money. So even if he wasn't lying there, if he was to get up and move around, he couldn't go to the supermarket because he's got no money to buy anything. It's like there's a network of contradictions there. And I was reading through this and thinking about it the last day or two, and it made me think or it reminded me about this month of Dhammada. This month of Dhammada, because as you all know, that this, the whole Dhammada Leela is, at least there is a connection with eating. There is a connection. And why not bring it out? Because it's important in terms of this whole Dhammada Leela. The Dhammada Leela is very important. Very important. At least one way we can get some idea of why it's important or how important it is that the whole month is dedicated to it. Normally some other big day like Janmashtami, Radha Ashtami, Govardhan Puja is coming, and etc., etc. They have just the one day is dedicated to them, or sometimes they have a Bhagavad Gita week, you know, or Ramayana week, or 9 days, or something like that. But this is a month. This is a month, which must indicate to some degree that there's special importance there, and eating is just part of the whole thing, because I'm sure, as everyone knows very well, as is said at least in the English language tradition, all good stories begin once upon a time. So once upon a time, maybe not in the Indian tradition, it's okay, but Mother Yashoda was churning yogurt into butter while breastfeeding Krishna, who's just small at that time. He's perhaps 3 or something of, along those lines. And it's stated that a child, a little child, like how Krishna was at that time, a child is most secure and satisfied and happy and just, that's about as good as it can get for a child, is when they're being breastfed. It's a very special situation for a child. So Mother Yashoda was sort of, you could say, multitasking, doing the churning the yogurt into butter while breastfeeding Krishna, and then the milk on the stove started boiling over, because the milk is not just a thing, like an object, something non-personal. But the milk is a person, the milk is a devotee. I don't know whether the milk is a he or a she, although dut is masculine, I believe. Is it? As a word? Masculine? Gender? Anyway, masculine or feminine, the milk is a devotee, and was anxious because the milk wanted to be drunk by Krishna, that is, his or her servants. And it means a lot to the milk to be able to serve Krishna in the prescribed way. So the milk became anxious, started to make it look like it or he or she was boiling over, just to attract the attention of Mother Yashoda, so she would stop breastfeeding Krishna. And sure enough, because Mother Yashoda is very first class housewife devotee, and she would never want to waste a drop of milk, right? Prabhupada on a number of occasions explained that milk is liquid religiosity, and you cannot waste a drop. If you do, that's a problem, and it will cause problems for you in the future. So she went, she just dropped everything. Krishna's there being breastfed in the best position of all. Suddenly he was just on the ground, you know, looking up at the sky. And apparently Mother Yashoda did not ask him, is it all right, or don't mind, or anything. He just found he was on the ground. And in the context of their parental pastimes there in Vrindavan, and the different exchanges that Mother Yashoda has with Krishna, so in that context Krishna became very angry. And you know the story. He found some rock or something hard, smashed that pot of yogurt, which was partially yogurt, partially buttermilk, partially butter, just, you know, mixed up like that. And so it all started coming out. Well, it just poured out. It must have been perhaps 20 liters. Can you imagine 20 liters just all over the floor? Krishna was really transcendentally upset. And there were pots of different dairy products hanging from the ceiling. Somehow, even though a little boy, he managed to climb up and smash some of them. Butter, milk, cream, yogurt, etc., etc. And how many liters must have been on the floor? It was really a mess. A housewife's nightmare. And so Krishna was upset. So the description is there that Krishna then, at that point, he went somewhere just nearby in the house, found some quiet little secluded place, and just sat and cried because he was upset. And Srila Jiva Goswami makes the point, interesting and important point. He says, the fact that Krishna went to some secluded place and sat and cried, really in an emotional condition. Jiva Goswami says, this proves Krishna was not acting in general in his interactions, his relationships with his devotees. It is not that Krishna just thinks, like with Mother Yashoda, that yes, well, she is a nice devotee, she thinks I'm her son, but I am not, I am God, but she's so nice, I don't want to disappoint her, so I will act like I'm her son. I'm not her son, but I will act as if I'm her son, just, you know, to be nice to her. No, Krishna is actually thinking that she is my mother, and she mistreated me, and therefore he's genuinely upset. So that's one interesting point. Then Krishna came out and started eating some of the butter, which was just all over the floor along with the various other things. He started eating the butter. And, of course, a very interesting question, an important question, is why is Krishna so fond of butter? You know, he also likes other things. A nice sabji is nice. A nice sweet is nice. But particularly, Krishna has a real fascination, a real attraction for butter. And therefore he's famous as Makhan Chor, the butter thief. You don't really hear much about Krishna as Doodh Chor, do you? I don't think so. Or even Burfi Chor, Chum Chum Chor, maybe sometimes a Ducky Chor, a little. But Makhan Chor, oh, he's famous as Makhan Chor. He has an attraction to butter. And, yeah, so why? Why the butter and not the other things? Is it just somehow or other? You know, different people have different tastes in food. Some like pizza, some like sweets, some like... Anyway, you know what I mean. Different people have different tastes. And they're attracted to whatever type of foodstuff it is. So in this case, with Krishna, it's butter. But is it really that he just wants to just eat butter just because it's butter and he likes the taste? Not really. This is discussed actually by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He explains it in a very nice way. First of all, the cows, they're also, they're persons, they're not just animals. Dull animals. They're people. And the cows are thinking, we want Krishna to get our milk. So in this way, all their love is going into their milk. And the ladies, they milk the cows and take the milk. And a certain amount of it, they transform into different other dairy products. And while they are doing all of this, they're also thinking, we want Krishna to get all the different things they're making. Yeah. So their love is going into those different products also. But the thing is this, interesting point, to make yogurt out of milk, it's pretty simple. There's a procedure. It's not really hard work. And yeah, you get your yogurt and so on. But now to make butter, I don't know how much experience any of you in the audience have with making butter by hand, but it's a bit of a process. You know, you've got to, it takes time and effort. And in the description in the 10th canto of Mother Yashoda, before the milk started boiling over, when she was just busy with the yogurt, the description is, she was working very hard and she was perspiring profusely. It's hard work. So because it's particularly hard work, whereas in many cases producing the other milk derivatives, it's relatively a lot easier. So much of her heart and mind and energy was invested in the butter. So therefore, of all the different dairy products, all of them, they have the love of the cows. They have the love of the ladies or whoever makes them. But particularly the butter has so much love. And Mother Yashoda was just churning away, just meditating on the butter which was to come, and her love was going into that. And Krishna, he's not really just interested in eating something. He wants to taste the love of his devotee. That's all. In fact, he doesn't even really care how expertly something is cooked or prepared. Yeah. Vamsidas Babaji would offer his Gopal deity raw brinjal. Uncooked. Just cut it up, offer. And I don't know if you've tasted raw brinjal. It's not so nice. And I think that's why people don't eat it raw, generally, like banana skins. Anyway, so this is the point. This is the point. Krishna wanted to taste that love. And all the different ladies in the community, they wanted Krishna to taste their love by taking their butter. And therefore Krishna had this habit of going around and taking the butter. Of course, Mother Yashoda didn't really see it in those terms. She just thought that Krishna is a bad boy, and he's going to grow up to become a bad adult, and I had to correct him and help him so that he grows up to become a good person. Otherwise, you know, now he's stealing butter. When he's older, maybe he will steal motor cars or chariots, perhaps, or ox carts. Maybe he will start the Makan Mafia and he'll become a famous criminal, and everyone will think, who is the mother of this person? What sort of useless mother did he have? Couldn't bring him up properly. So Mother Yashoda, she was very concerned. So what she did, from Nanda Maharaj's herd of cows, she selected several, the best cows. And then she went around Vraja, finding where the best grass was growing. And she would personally go every day and cut that grass and bring it and feed those best cows by hand and milk them and get the best milk and make it all into yogurt and make it all into butter. And, you know, it was kilos of butter, and she just give it to Krishna. Take it. Just eat it. And it was the best butter. And she thought, this is the way to stop him from this stealing habit. So she'd leave Krishna with kilos of butter and come back in 10 minutes, but he was gone. He was next door stealing their butter. So poor Mother Yashoda, she had a bit of an inferiority complex. You know, I'm not a proper mother. I can't even make good enough butter. But the point was, as we explained, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna wanted to taste the love of these older gopis. And they wanted, they would have been happy, just take as much butter as you want. But the problem was, if they just gave Krishna their butter, their husbands would have objected. And they might have got very angry that, you know, this is our livelihood and you're just giving it away. And perhaps there would have been divorce. Although it was unheard of in those days. So in order to please those ladies and the cows, but to avoid the ladies getting into trouble, Krishna stole the butter. He stole it. And he took the blame. And when the husbands came back at night, and they found out that Krishna had stolen the butter again, then the wives would act like they were upset. You wouldn't believe it. Krishna stole the butter again. It's terrible. Actually, they were happy. So Krishna took the blame. So it's a very special loving exchange. Anyway, Krishna came out of that hiding place and started eating the butter until he had had enough, and started feeding the monkeys until they had had enough and they were refusing. And then Mother Yashoda came back in after saving the milk, and there's Krishna offering the butter to the monkeys and the monkeys are refusing. And Krishna, being a very naughty boy, Krishna said, Mata, just look, your butter is so bad, even the monkeys won't eat it. And poor Mother Yashoda, that was it. That was it. It was too much. And she felt, okay, I have to do something, correct this boy. And so then she started to chase him with a stick, as if she was going to hit him. Of course she was not going to hit him, but she wanted to discipline him, correct him, frighten him a bit. Sometimes with children, you know, that has to be done, otherwise they may not get the message. But it wasn't just that she was angry and she just wanted to just lash out and just hit him. No, she wanted to help him, actually. So like this, that's a little background. You know, the whole pastime, it would take some time to go through it all. But then she started chasing him, couldn't catch him, because she is a kind of somewhat heavily built, middle-aged lady. Krishna's this nimble little boy who can just dodge around very quickly. She couldn't catch him. But then that mood of motherly concern just overflowed and just overwhelmed Krishna. And then she caught him and tied him up. But initially the rope was 2 fingers too short. And more rope, 5 meters perhaps. But it was 2 fingers too short. And Krishna's just a little boy. How could it 5 meters of rope not be enough? You know, 5 meters of rope will not get around your belly. You have been eating too much prasadam. A lot too much. And then so much rope and kilometers of rope. But it's always 2 fingers too short. And then again her love just overflowed and her motherly concern. I have to help this child. I have to help him. And then it overpowered Krishna. She caught Krishna. She was able to tie up Krishna. And then the pastime continued to unfold with the deliverance of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. So anyway, this is just very briefly, you know, in Krishna consciousness, we have many long stories. Many long stories. So this is also quite a long story. But that's an abbreviated version of it. And it involves eating. Krishna eating the butter. That whole experience. And of course we can imagine if the Yuga Dharma was not Harinam Sankirtan, if the Yuga Dharma was eating prasadam, sure, life would be different, wouldn't it? Maybe we would all be like this this Brahmin sage. So anyway, Mother Yashoda disciplined Krishna. He didn't really learn his lesson, though. He kept on stealing the butter. And Manigriva and Nalakuvara were delivered, went back, ultimately back to Godhead. And as they say in the English tradition, when everything ended up, they all lived happily ever after in Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki. Sri Sri Yashoda Damada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopremanande. Hare Krishna. You're very generous. I think that's all we have time for. Questions will be next time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.